Parshas Noach, there's so much in the Ramban in particular. It's so much. If you have time over the course of Shabbos, you may want to take a peek. It's a pair of Rambans that we're not going to look at. I had a chance to learn these Rambans earlier week at two other groups. The Ramban in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yudbeis, and Perek Vav, Pasuk Yudtes, which together give you sort of two different perspectives from the Ramban, sort of looking at the same idea, but from two different angles, on the role of science. It talks about science in the context of the rainbow, the keshes, and he talks about science in the context of the teva. And he talks about the keshes in Parakes, so his very fascinating focus on science, in particular experimental science, scientific method. Got to take a look, very fascinating. And in Perek Vav, he talks about Nisim. He talks about how everyone fit the teva. It's one of a series of Rambans, but the other gives you a sort of an approach to Kadosh Baruch Hu's, as it were, self-imposed rules on when and how he does Nisim. Sort of a theme that develops over the course of the Ramban. So, those two are fascinating to see separately or to see those two together. Right now, so if you have time over Shabbos, you may want to take a peek. Right now, I want to take a look at one or two, to kind of see how time goes, one or two other brief comments on Ramban. There's a lot to think about and to chew over. Perek Vav Pasuk Yud-Gimel. Perek Vav Pasuk Yud-Gimel. So Rav Sham is introducing to Noach the fact that there's going to be a Mabel and that Noach has a role to play. And he's explaining the Mabel. So he tells Noach that the world is full of chamas. The world is full of chamas. The Ramban writes, chamas hu hagezel v'haoshek. Different types, different ways of depriving people of what they own. Like gezel, halachically speaking, gezel is when I take something from someone, and oshek is when I have something that I don't relinquish to someone else. If I owe you money, I don't pay. If I don't pay my bills, if I don't pay my worker's salary, so that's oshek. And gezel is where I actually took something from you, it's supposed to be yours. So either type of dishonesty. But nothing to know, it's not just sticking your hand into someone else's. The Pesukim earlier had spoken about Hashchasas Derech, which Rashi understood to mean the basic lack of the most fundamental sexual ethics that apply even to animals. These animals should stay within their own species, and certainly among human beings, but that doesn't get mentioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly to Noah. Rabban wants to know how, why? Ki hachamas hu hachet hayadua v'hamefursam. The number one, because everyone knows about it. What do you mean everyone knows about it? As Shavel actually points out, on the bottom, they have two sets of footnotes, on the lower footnotes, in the Be'urim, he points out that this first idea of the Ramban comes from Zohar. Take a look, right? That's certainly within the context of Zohar, it sounds like Yadur Mefursim, meaning that Noach could see. The Gezel, the Chamas, the Oshet, that everyone could see. The Hashras of the Derech was something private, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have taken into account, but in trying to explain to Noach, let me explain to you why I'm doing this, so he told him something that he could see. You see that this, you see the world is full of Chamas. But then the Rabban points out that it's such a solid Rabban. Chazal say, Gemara in Perek Chelek, Rashi quotes it that the Chesimah's Gzar Din was on Chamas. Then he goes on to explain two Ta'amim for that. What's going on here, Lechora, is really a Kash and a Teretz. Meaning, or rejection of the first approach. Right? Now, Rabban is trying to figure out how come Rivosham doesn't mention Hashas HaTerech, he just mentions Chamas. So his first answer before he introduces Gemara Sanhedrin is Noach knew about it. Meaning, fundamentally, there's no difference. It's just that Noach happened to know about the Hamas, Noach didn't know about the Shosah Zarech, because Baruch, who either one maybe would have been enough, Rosh Baruch gives a simpler, more straightforward explanation. But the Chazal is saying there's something more essential about this differentiation. It's not merely a question of what Noach is aware, what Noach is not aware, but the Tzara Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Gezar Din, the Chasimus Gezar Din, was Hamas and not the Shasat Dara. So that requires more explanation, because Ribbono Shalom is aware. Ribbono Shalom is toward the mountains. Ribbono Shalom is aware of everything that goes on in this universe. Kadosh Baruch Hu was just aware of it, whether it was private or public. So then the question becomes, so what's the essential difference between Hamas on the one hand and Shasat Dara on the other hand? And to that, the Ramban has two answers. Hatam, Nevoi, Shi, Mitzru, Mitzvah, Muskelas. It's a logical mitzvah. In Lehem, but Sarach, the Nabi Lahazir. The Nabi has no reason to warn them. And he says the second explanation is for why Hamas is uniquely problematic. Shurala Shamayim Vit Labrios. Because it's both, it's Be'am Lachavir. It's you're doing the wrong thing, Kalat Rebbeinu Shem, else doing the wrong thing, Kalat others. So just to understand a little bit of where these are going, the Rambam in the Shmona Prakim also draws this distinction between the mitzvah muskelas and mitzvah is not muskelas. I mean, the truth is Chazal point that the Tzukim seem to be Chukim and Mishpatim. It sounds like that's what the Rambam is talking about. The Hamas is a Mishpat. Hamas we understand. Now, if you just looking during the week, Rambam in the sixth parak of Shmona Prakim, he's involved in a question of the value of Nisayim. Is it better to be a person who's tempted and you fight against that, or is there more value in being a person who's refined and isn't even tempted? And Rambam sets up a stira between Greek philosophers and Chazal. He points out that the Greek philosophers really are already attested to by Shlomo HaMelech, a pair of Pesuk and Mishlei. Seems to sounds there like it's the ideal person is not even tempted, and the fact that I'm tempted by something already is already makes me a little bit of a rasha. But he lines up three Mamar Chazal. There are more from Sara Agra and a famous Sifra on Kedoshim, that there's no value in thinking that the lobster is gross and that the Basil Chalav is gross. The Sifra says, no, it's all delicious. And we're proud to say no, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. The Rambam's solution is that they're both true. If it's not a machlokas, they're both true. It depends when. A Tosis type of answer. Right? So he says that depends whether it's a mitzvah sichlus or a mitzvah shimus. Is it a sort of mitzvah that we understand logically, or a sort of mitzvah we only know because we heard it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. And then when he says that, uses that terminology, mitzvah sichlis, he says, just to sort of fill up the picture, he says, when it's a mishpat, a mitzvah sichlis, there, the very fact that I want it is problematic. But if it's a mitzvah shimis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to wear shanas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to violate our rights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to keep Shabbos and so on and so forth. The ma'isa there is a problem. If I'm tempted, I give in to my temptation, I'm done, I'm there. The fact that I'm tempted, everyone's tempted by lots of things. That's part of being a human being. The concern is when you actually act on it. The question is, what do I do with my temptation? Having any side, everyone has many sins. Everyone has their own profile. Each person has his own profile, which mitzvahs are challenging, which mitzvahs are not challenging. So everyone's going to have a whole pile of theirs that will be challenging. And that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision, that those things should be challenging, right? My work is to grapple with that nisayim. So having the nisayim in the world of mitzvah shimios, as the Rambam says, should be no cause for concern. It's not a mark on my stain on my record whatsoever. What I do with it, that's the question. How I seek to manage that taiva, that's the question. Now, Rav Shalat in his from Maaleh Adumim has written a lot. Very fascinating things about Rambam. There are a lot of fresh retranslations of Rambam. So he put out that one of his volumes is a volume of the Rambam, retranslation of the Rambam's Agadic Hakdamas to Mishnah. The Hakdama is the beginning, and then we talk about Tarshvapeh, and then the Hakdama to Chelek, which is Kari Amuna and Al Haba, and the Hakdama to Amos, which is Shmona Prophet. So he makes the point, the Rambam there, when he lays out this answer, that Mitzvah Sichlis is, Mitzvah Sichlis, even wine is problematic, but a Mitzvah Shimis, the type itself is to be expected, is not fundamentally, there's nothing immoral about having a taiva. So he points out, Shailat points out that the Rambam is very hesitant about the use of the term Sichlis. He uses the word Mitzvah Shimis without a problem, Mitzvah Shmiya. Mitzvah Sichlis, he ascribes, he says, those who have gotten caught up in what the Rambam saw as an unhealthy philosophical school of thought, the Medabrim, so they use the term Sichlis. That's it all about. So Shailat explains that this is part of a larger debate, something we touched on, I think, at the beginning of the year. The Medabrim of the opinion that mitzvahs never have reasons. Everything is purely just Ratzon HaBorei with no reason, no logic whatsoever. Just obedience. Everything is busy work. Maybe it's a shallow way of putting it. The Ram was very unhappy with that. We spoke about it at the beginning of the year. The Ram thinks that there's a Machlokas HaTanan about whether the Tame, whether there are Tame mitzvahs or not, and that we paskin yes. He's from Shilat suggests that the Rambam was uncomfortable with even identifying some mitzvahs as sichlios and some mitzvahs as non-sichlios, because that indicates some mitzvahs have sense to them, and some mitzvahs are just random. Just because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, but there's no inner reason. And he points out, if you read the language there carefully, and you look around the Mora, so he seems to say, it's not so much a difference between mitzvahs that have a reason and mitzvahs don't have a reason. It's mitzvahs right. And mitzvahs which are natural, that's probably a better word, if you're familiar with doctrine of natural law. The Rambam talks about mitzvahs which are natural, meaning mitzvahs which I could, and if he points out, Chazal talked about that, Gemara and Yuma. He points to Gemara and Yuma. Mitzvahs shel mole lo nichtavu, we would have figured out on our own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I thought we would have understood on our own. Versus the mitzvahs which we only know because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. We can understand the rationale for Shmir or Shabbos, it's Mechazik and Muna, but I wouldn't have guessed on my yoke. If Kashbo would have told me, avoid the Lamin Tais Malachas and make Kiddush, so that way you'll remember Kiddush HaOlam, we would have intuited that there's value to keeping alive and fresh our Emuna that Kashbo created the universe. We wouldn't have guessed that the modality for that is Shabbos. Right? We would understand that we ought to avoid Avodah Zara. We might not have guessed that not cutting off our payas is a good way to avoid avodah zarah, and maybe not eating basa b'chalav is a way to keep ourselves far from avodah zarah. So whereas the iser against reticha, the iser against gezel and oshek and so forth, it's not just we understand that the value that they put forward is valuable. We have understood that we ought to do this and we ought to avoid that. But not so much is there a rationale for it. There's a rationale for everything. Some rationales are clear to us. Some rationales, once we have the mitzvah, we can figure out. Some mitzvahs, even once we have the mitzvah, we can't figure out. Shlomo Mel figured almost everything, except for Paraduma. Most of us, the rest of us, not even up to Shlomo Mel. We'll figure out the mitzvah. We've figured out or have gotten to Masorah, the mitzvah, reasons for some mitzvahs, and not for others. But every mitzvah has rationale and reason to it, as we saw the Rambam and the Ramban discuss earlier in the year. But the question is, would we have guessed it on our own? And that, for that Rishalat points out, that's really that's the key dividing line that Rambam was really trying to draw, and that's why he was uncomfortable with using the term sichlis, because it could be misunderstood. Now, so that's fascinating, because that's exactly the distinction that the Ramban is drawing, I think, as well. So if you read the language carefully, it is a mitzvah muskelis. Chamas is a mitzvah muskalas, arayas, or hashas has derech is not. The question is, so what? Therefore, well, the Ramban is arguing that mitzvah sichlios are more of a chiyuv. The Ramban never said that. That's incredibly disturbing thing to hear. But there's less of a chiyuv to keep mitzvahs if I know it only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me. Ultimately, I keep everything because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me. If you read the Ramban, he explains. And he gives exactly that distinction that the Rosh Hashanah pointed out the Rambam was giving in the sixth paragraph of Shmona Prakim. It's a mitzvah muskalas, and therefore ain lahem but tzorech l'navi l'hazir. They didn't need a hasra. There's no excuse that I didn't realize, you know, how serious it was. No one reminded me about the SRIs. This you can figure out on your own. So that's why, not that it's more of a chiyuv, more of an iser, but in terms of culpability, in terms of culpability, all the shemits that they know of are of equal chomer, perhaps. But in terms of culpability, so if it's something that I might not have intuited, so then I had a little more of an amasla, that I did the wrong thing, but maybe we didn't realize. So that's a mitigating factor, at least in terms of punishment, not in terms of the aveira itself, but in terms of, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about in terms of punishment, not in terms of chomer isin. So there's a limud zchus by hashchas of darach, which is not in play by chamas, because it's a mitzvah muskalas, it's a mitzvah tivis. In the mitzvah we understand on our own, this is the right thing to do. Ein lam but zorach l'navi l'hasir. And the other point that he makes, Rala Shemayim Bila Rios, presumably, again, I don't know if you want to say it addresses the Chomer Yisr or not, even if it doesn't address the core Chomer Yisr, it definitely speaks to the impact of the Esenach Geminas. The Hashchas Hasdara, that Chamas is impact, is not only a violation of the Tzivi Hashem, but it's directly impacting the people around me, so that adds to the... to the negativity of output. V'hinei hodia le'noach ha'chet shalav ba'ha'chet higia ha'tzefira. And now, interesting sort of poetic closing line here, Kadosh Baruch Hu letting Noach know that the train whistle is going, train's about to leave the station, that it's time, that the people, the civilization has been violating chatar for so long, we're at Nismali Sa'asam, and it's time for the onesh to kick in. And the hodiah l'noach also, the question was like, what that line do? So putting things in perspective maybe. Maybe also highlighting that he was telling that this plays off of the first reason. That in lahem but tzorach l'navi l'hazir. Kadosh Baruch Hu had not sent Noach in advance the way we see, let's say, later Nevi'im, the way in Nevi'im Achronim, you see Yeshayahu sent, Yechezkel sent, Yirmiyahu sent, and Micha sent, and Nachman sent. They sent tell people, Rabbosei, you're doing chatan, you better do tshuva before it's too late. That didn't happen here. Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is a stage two. Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Noach, by the way, they had already done so many chatan that they have already earned their onesh, and now I'm letting you know the onesh is on the way. Why Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to do that, we don't know, but that does explain why the mitzvah muskeles was more of an issue. In other words, if Kadosh Baruch Hu would have said no in advance to tell them, Rabosai, all the things you're doing are unacceptable, it's all wrong, so then there would all be reasons for the chesivas pardon. But Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't, for whatever reason, Rabosh Hashem chose not to say no. He's just telling Noach, retrospectively, we've already passed the point of no return, we're already past the point of where they already deserve their own ash. They're still room for tshuva, but they already have earned their own ash. So that's why the Chassimus Gemara Din, in retrospect, was on the Chamas and not the Shchasas Derech. Yeah.
How do you learn what you're out Is every learning that's a chumra by Gezel more than any other being on the Machadero? Or no?
More than being on the Machams.
Copying
some other Ben Machaveros.
Correct.
Let's say charging reasonable ribbis for another Jew. But that's not a mitzvah muskalas. Right. Rala Shemayim Rala Briyas. That language also reminds us when we use the terminology of Ben Machaver versus Ben Machaveros, it means even Ben Machaveros. It's not either this or that. Every Ben Machaveros is also Ben Machaveros, which is why there's a double M. We have a couple of minutes. I want to take a peek at something else to sort of get you started. I'm thinking about another angle here, unrelated to the Shabbat. In Perek Ches, on the other side, if you're looking at the copies on the other side of the copy. The Ramban said, Yom Hashem and Libo is near the end of Perek Ches. Ribono Shel says, to his heart. Lo sif od, I'm not going to do this again. We're not going to sort of mass destruction, mass extinction the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done in the time of Mabel. Not going to do this again. Later on, in Parakes, he's going to tell Noach about that, make a bris with Noach, and set the rainbow as the Osa Kesha, as the Osa bris. But right now, this is Vayomer Hashem El Libo. So the question, what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to his heart. Obviously, it's metaphorical. Obviously, as we know, any anthropomorphic description, any description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a heart, but we have a heart. So it's capturing a certain idea. So what idea is it capturing? What about human beings speaking to their heart is somewhat similar, but in divine terms, or we would say maybe to our minds. I think I mentioned Yaakov Kametsky in his Emes Yaakov and Chumash. I think it's either in the first or second parasha of Kriyat Shema. I think it's in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema. He suggests that the word, the radical idea, he suggests that in biblical Hebrew, how do you say brain? Mishneik Hebrew is Noach. I say brain biblically. He thinks it's lay. He thinks lay is a reference to it. It says, lo yitay fast. He says, lo yitachin, there's no word for brain in biblical Hebrew. Where is it? Now, you don't necessarily have every single word in biblical Hebrew. You can find it conceivable that you'll find an inscription that'll have a word that doesn't appear in Tanakh. Not every word in Hebrew doesn't have to appear in Tanakh. But he says, Tanakh doesn't talk about the brain. So he says, it must be lay means both. Biblical Hebrew lay means both. Mishneik Hebrew lay is the heart, and Moach is the brain. Yomer Hashem and Libo, we would certainly translate as to talk to yourself. Yeah.
Which first he quotes off in the Rambam and Gemara that says the name is mind as opposed to heart.
Ah. Okay, great. I wonder why. Okay, I think maybe he does. Maybe Rocky quotes it. If not, that would be strange. He wouldn't quote it. I mean, not that it refers anatomically to the brain. It refers to...
No,
you're saying...
The ancients actually talked to the...
You're saying doctors at the time thought that thinking went on here.
Why? Lashon of Tanakh? No, because
there was Lashon of Tanakh. Right? Okay. All right, there's a big difference. That's sort of a big difference between Lashon Chazal and Lashon HaTorah in terms of this. Kadosh Baruch Hu was definitely fully aware. He's the one who created our brains in the first place and created our hearts in the first place. So Kadosh Baruch Hu definitely called Razzle honestly, quite literally. So something to think about. Got to take a look. So the question is, what does this mean? So the Ramban says, Yom HaShem Alibo means, so to say, that's a way of saying that biblical idiom for he said to himself. I said to my own mind. It's sort of awkward to say in English. People just say, I said to myself. The way you say in biblical Hebrew, when I say, I said to myself, is I said, L-E-B. V'gila ha-davar l'navi. What does that mean? V'gila ha-davar l'navi b'zmanahu. Because one doesn't have to say anything. The point is, in other words, this was something that was not expressed. He didn't say it to others. So when we say he didn't say it to others, is he said it to himself. We want the so where do we hear this? Rabbi Yonzav Osoas Moshe Beksivus HaTorah Gila Ilav. Noach never knew. Noach did know what? Noach did know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had chosen to not bring such destruction again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that. What didn't Noach know? Rabbi Yonzav Osoas Moshe Beksivus HaTorah Gila Ilav. When he told Moshe to write the Torah, that's when he revealed to him Kikasher Ekriv Noach Karbono. All the l'ratam, the carbon worked, and the carbon on some level accomplished this. The gazer shel Yosef lakos is called that decision to never repeat Mabel-like destruction was in some level a response to Noach's successful carbon. Noach didn't know that. Kadosh Baruch Hu just tells Noach, "Here's my conclusion." It didn't tell him where it came from. Now. One interesting question to think about, which I don't have a good answer for, is why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Noach? Seems like it would have been a useful information for Noach to know that his carbon has succeeded. But how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reveal it to Noach? It's an interesting question. Then the language that he did tell it to Moshe Rabbeinu, And that just gets us back. If we can spend the next 2-3 minutes taking a quick peek, if you don't have Ramban, you can take a look at this. If you do have Ramban, you can turn to the very beginning. The very beginning. The Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis. Because this, he's really sending us back to a very fascinating question that he raises. Ramban wants to know where did Bereishis come from? He doesn't Kedarko Bakoresh, he just starts talking. And then slowly, it grows. If you keep reading with open eyes, you realize what it was bothering. He opens the Hakadav of Bereishis by saying, Moshe Rabbeinu Kosev HaSefer is the Im HaTorah, Kulu Pivshah Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bereishis is written together with the other four Chumashim, direct dictation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so at first you look at these, you just assume, okay, he's just, you know, laying out Ikar Yamuna. You're about to learn Chumash, you should know. And all of Chumash is direct dictation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is certainly true, and there's more to it also. Because he begins to talk about, well, where? When was it written? Hakar Shekasal Bahar Sinai. Trying to later parts of Chumash give bylines. Vayikra, beginning of Vayikra, Rashi doesn't let us forget. The open line of Vayikra tells us it was Ba'ol HaMoed. Devarim, beginning line, open line of Devarim tells us that it was Ba'arav HaSmol. The open line of Bamidbar tells us that it was B'Midbar Sinai. So that's sort of going back to, or not going back. Before Vayikra, not before Vayikra. Bereishis has no byline. When is it written? Where is it written? He says, "Masamot Har Sinai." Very fascinating line. He says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu invites Moshe Rabbeinu to Har Sinai, and the invitation includes three items you should expect to receive: Luchos HaEven, the HaTorah, the HaMitzvah, Asher Kasavti LaHorosam. Three things were written: Luchos, the Torah, and the Mitzvah. All are written. So it's not Torah Tarsh Vapeh. Torah that's your Rabban doesn't say it's befeirish, but it sounds like what he's driving at." So we have three written. In addition to Tarshal Peh, there are three written things you're going to get. So what are the three written things? The Luchos. So the Luchos is Haluchos V'Hamichta, the actual stone together with what's engraved on it. Aser Sadibris. Mitzvah means mitzvahs. Asay Los Aseh. So then what's Torah? In Cain, HaTorah, on the last line here, Yechol HaSipur Mitchiyaz Bereishis. Ki hu moreh anashim b'derech b'inyin ha'emunah. That's what's called Torah because it's a Moreh Derech. It's a guide. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu invites Moshe Rabbeinu up to Har Sinai to come to Har Sinai. I have three written items to give you: Aseres HaDibros and Luchos, and I'm going to give you the text that you're going to inscribe in Sifrei Torah, Torah and Mitzvah, the Agada and Halacha of Chumash. So there are plenty of mitzvahs that we know, and the Torah, the Agada of Chumash, which is meant to guide us, it says that must be the stories that begin from Bereishis. Then he gets involved in when was Chumash actually written down. That's the Machlokas. That's the Machlokas in Gittin Daf Samach. Okay, that's they tell you, they can follow the footnotes, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu was writing down pieces of Chumash as he got them, or everything's only written at the very end. The Machlokas, whether Tarash Shebichsav is as old as Tarash Ba'al-Peh, or Tarash Ba'al-Peh is even older. Maybe even Tarash Shebichsav was Ba'al-Peh for the first 40 years. And then he goes on, if you're here on the second page, like 6 lines down, he says, I'll call upon him while here. He finally explains what's been bothering him the whole time. What he's trying to solve. I'll call upon him while Nachon Shechtov B'tchila Sefer Bereishis V'Yidaber Elokim El Moshe Eskadarim Ha'el Leimar. Bereishis is missing a byline. And that's what's been troubling the Rabbi. There's no byline. Not just a byline in terms of where it was written. Ol Moed Midbar Sinai, Arvus Malav, nothing. Attribution, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, most of Chumash starts with something like that. Here, garnished. Most of Chumash starts with something like that, starting from somewhere in Sefer Shmos. But Bereishis is not covered by any citation. Anything, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the problem that he's seeking to solve here. He said, no, you should, even though there's no byline, this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll prove it to you, because I can even show you exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu he's about to give it to him. But then the question is, okay, so if indeed it was from Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we believe in Munah Shlema, then why is the byline missing? Throughout the rest of them, she do have. But Hayah said, that really, you would have expected to have it. But Moshe chose instead to write it stam without any attribution, Pnesha, why? If Pnesha lokasai Moshe Rabbeinu Torah kimedav vad atzmo, kinevim shemazkirim atzmo. Because Chumash, is Moshe Rabbeinu is not in first person. The way Yechezkel, for instance, is in first person. Vayidvar Hashem Eli lemar, ben Adam, etc. Yirmiyahu, Hayidvar Hashem Eli, to me. Moshe Rabbeinu Kasav told us Kol Adaros. Harvey showed him the Yichas Atzmo, the Toladiko, Umikra, Kishlishi Amidada. He's a third person, it's a third person narrative. Even when he's talking about Moshe. He doesn't say, I was born, my parents, it's always, he was born, his parents. But that's because of Kaddish Baruch who chose the Moshe, the Chumash should have Moshe in third person. We understand why, we can guess why, because Moshe's role was less significant than Yirmiyahu's. Moshe's role in Chumash was less significant than Yirmiyahu's role in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And the Gemara tells us, like, Eishen Neviim is not been besigno nechad. That outside of Chumash, no two Neviim will have the exact same style of presentation, because every Navi, the Rambam, and other Raman Mor and others explain, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the ideas to the Neviim, but they chose the wording, which is why every Navi is a slightly different style, because different people have different styles. That was not the case with Chumash. Chumash, like Moshe Rabbeinu, was in such a great madrega that he was able to be a conduit for pure direct Nevuas Moshe, where he was just Shechina Medaberes, as Chazal said, Mitov Gron Hashem Moshe. Shechina was speaking out of Moshe's throat, meaning it was all, that maybe literally also sounded different than Moshe's usual voice. And it certainly means that Moshe was just a blank conduit, that he was not choosing the wording. So that we understood, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have done otherwise. But presumably, the Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to highlight Moshe Rabbeinu's passive role here by not having him as the first person. Even though he was transmitting the words of Hashem, he wasn't choosing the language, since everything is in the third person. And because of that, Lo Nizkar Moshe B'Torah Chinola. And that's why Moshe has not even mentioned until he's born in Parsha Shmos. And even after that point, Nizkar Ki'ilu Acher Misaperla. It's all in third person. He points out, Devarim is different, but that's because Devarim opens with Eilat Devarim Shadibar Moshe Kol Yisrael. So it fundamentally it's all in third person, right? Which it comes back to at the end of Eilat Moshe and so on and so forth. So it starts by saying, the Father is what Moshe told the Jews. Okay, within that you hear Moshe speaking. But even the framing of Devarim is also fundamentally Moshe in the third person. So that idea is a fascinating set of ideas which she opens that Dhamma. There's other fascinating things to say in that Dhamma as well, much of which is Kabbalah, but that part is not. So that's, there's a little bit of a tip-off to that here. Now the Ramban is even sort of bringing that idea, the core idea of Reishis, into right here. It says, Vayom HaShem Libo is referencing the fact that this Sefer is being given later, and you know and I know who that is, that's Moshe Bahar Sinai, etc., 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 and that's the significance, Yom HaShem Alibo, is here's third-person narrative that's not part of the story itself. This is sort of like a footnote. A footnote to the reader, at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this decision, and now let's go back to the ongoing drama with Noach. And that's because this is being written later and being written in that format, so that format, that third-person format, allows easily for this sort of sidebar that's not part of the interaction between HaKadosh, direct interaction between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Noach. Okay, there's much more to talk about. I think we'll stop here for now. Rabbi, thank you so much. Well done to the Beis Medrash.